Thank you for tuning in to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible on KEQX 89.7. The views, opinions, beliefs, and content expressed on the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible are the sole production of the Harrison Moore Expedition and its agents. The views, opinions, and beliefs expressed on this show may not be the same as those of KEQX or any of its agents. This show is brought to you by the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, and the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas.
Good evening and welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. My name is Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, and my partner on this radio program is David Harris, the gospel preacher for the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, and we are delighted to have you in our listening audience tonight, and we want to remind you that this is a live call-in talk show. And so if you have any questions or comments about the program today or questions concerning the Bible, we encourage you to call in at 254-445-2473, or if you prefer, you can email us at keqx@rocketmail.com. Now, our motto is and will always be, you have heard what men have said, now let us hear what the Bible has to say. We have last Monday began talking about what is authority, or by what authority are we to do things in this life. And authority is a very important issue in our day, and you can see that there are a lot of people throughout the world who really have a hard time understanding and coming to grips with the issue of authority. We have people throughout the world who are in prison, people who are teaching things contrary to the will of God. All of these things revolve around the idea of lacking understanding and of proper authority. Well, last Monday, we began talking about authority, and we began by talking about, first of all, some of the false standards of authority. We talked about how that some were involved in allowing their conscience to be pretty much their guide, and that's that pretty much opens the door for everything, doesn't it, David?
Absolutely. When the conscience is the guide, then you can just, whatever doesn't bother you, be okay. And depending on where you were brought up and how you were brought up, your conscience won't bother you on many things.
That's right. And we have a good example of that concerning Paul we talked about last time, that he persecuted the church in all good conscience, but he was wrong. And so our consciences are not a good and safe guide. We also noted last week how that dreams and visions are things that some people try to use as their authority in religion. But we've showed in times past, as we did last week, that those days of miracles and dreams and visions are past. Now we have the Bible as our sole guide in religion. And there are also some people who think their authority in religion is their parents. They follow the religion of their fathers, and often our parents don't even agree on religion. Mm-hmm. And that causes great difficulty in the family. And so if one parent believes this, one parent believes that, who are you going to believe? It causes turmoil in the family. We also talked about how that many people use the majority, how the majority of the world thinks as their authority. And we need to realize that the Bible says that thou shalt not follow multitude to do evil. So it doesn't matter what everybody in the world's doing. What really matters is what the Bible has to say. And that's what we want to focus on as we develop in our study tonight. But we left off last week talking about how that there are a lot of people who think that the church, and we're talking about the church in a denominational sense, how they think that the church is to be our authority in religion. And one of these issues is concerning the Pope. A lot of people believe that the Pope has authority in religion, don't they, David?
Yes, they do. As a matter of fact, a lot of people think that the Pope is God in the flesh. And when you do that, and we need to go back, and let me, if I may, go back and just look at the definition of authority. And what we're talking about here, it is defined as the power or the right to give commands, to enforce obedience, to take action, or to make final decisions. a jurisdiction, if you will. And in the realm of religion, authority is just that, just as it is everywhere else. Authority in any phase of life is going to be able to enforce the law, you might say. In religion, that's exactly the authority that we're talking about. Where does our authority come from in religion? That is the big question that we need to be able to answer. Once we have answered that question, then we'll know how to do things right.
That's right. When we think about the Pope, you know, there was a article that came back the other day through the email about the Pope, how he was embracing now the Big Bang as God's plan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what we see here is that over time, the popes change their view, don't they?
Right.
You know, one pope will believe this, another pope will come in and say this is the way it is, and they'll contradict one another. And all of that shows you that when we start relying upon man as our authority, things are going to change. And we need to realize that they have changed so many times over the years. Sometimes the pope will sit what they call ex cathedra, where they believe that a pope is by that speaking by inspiration. But isn't it interesting, David, that the word pope is not found anywhere in the Bible?
No place whatsoever.
And we have no idea. We have there's just no sign anywhere in the Bible where the pope has any kind of authority. Matter of fact, the pope is a man-made institution and contrary to God's law. And so we need to realize that the church, and from a denominational sense, has no right to make laws, whether it be a pope, whether it be a cardinal, whether it be a man in a various denomination. They have no right to say, as a church, this is our authority, because we're going to show here in just a few moments that only the Bible has the right to do that. Only the Bible has the authority for us in religion today.
Well, as I understand it, and really you would have to go to Catholic writings and Catholic books to figure out just exactly what the hierarchy is of the Catholic Church. But we do know this, there can only be one pope at a time. And whichever pope is alive at the time, he's the one that's in the power. So the dead ones, they don't get to speak anymore. And the one that is alive can trump the rest of them with anything that he says. This is what is giving him the authority. But if you believed this fella today about the Big Bang Theory, which is a preposterous thing to believe, and for those of you who don't understand the Big Bang Theory, it's all about evolution. It's all about how the world started. And it totally eliminates God as the creator in this whole situation, which is totally contrary to what we've been thinking about. Now here comes a man in a religious authoritative posture saying, well, that Big Bang Theory must be right. We're going to accept it now. All these years it's been wrong, but now all of a sudden it's right.
That's right. It's amazing to me that a religion will try to take God out of the picture.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you see that happening more and more all the time. And not only is it happening with regard to Catholicism and things of that nature, but also with regard to creeds and discipline and manuals, which are closely associated with the idea of the church in the denominational sense. You know, we have a lot of religions today who will have creed books, or they'll have disciplines or prayer books or various manuals by which they guide their religious beliefs. There was a man by the name of Benjamin Franklin, not the statesman, but a gospel preacher by the name of Benjamin Franklin. And here's what he said concerning creeds. He said, if a creed contains more than the Bible, it is to be rejected because it contains more than the Bible. And if a creed contains less than the Bible, it is to be rejected because it contains less than the Bible. And if a creed contains the same as the Bible, it is to be rejected because, well, we already have the Bible. And so we don't need creed books. We don't need manuals. We don't need any kind of catechisms. We don't need any kind of prayer books or disciplines because we have the Bible.
That's correct.
And you know, and that's, when we think about these various ideas of disciplines and manuals, people kind of go through and pick and choose what they want. And when you have that kind of mentality, picking and choosing what you want, that's going to lead men astray. You know, in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 9, he said, Paul says, as we said before, so say we now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you receive, let him be accursed. And that's what these disciplines are doing. That's what these manuals are doing. They're preaching something other than what the Bible says. You know, David, we were talking earlier about some examples of this very type of thing going on with something called the bar church. And also, we were talking about a email that came in today about Chrislam, which is absurd, and the cowboy church. Tell us a little bit about some of these,
well,
David.
The one that is one of the most outrageous things that I've seen in a while is something that the Presbyterian Church has come up with in Houston and Atlanta, Seattle and Detroit. Now keep in mind, when we're talking about authority, we're talking about who has authority to say where salvation is.
Right.
And this is very important. I mean, if salvation is where these people say it is, then I'm in the wrong place.
That's right.
And wherever salvation is, that's where I want to be. Now, in this article that came out today in the news, we have a church in Houston and Atlanta, Seattle, and Detroit that will begin to initiate a series of sermons that have been designed to produce an ecumenical reconciliation between Christianity and Islam, of all things. And they're calling it Chrislam. They say that Jesus is in the Quran and the Quran is in the pew. In addition to the sermons that they're going to preach about Islam, there will be Sunday school lessons that will center on the inspired teachings of the Prophet Muhammad. Now, let me put that in quotation because I didn't say it. I'm just reading it like it says. They claim that the Prophet Muhammad had the same kind of inspired teachings as did Jesus. Now, Qurans and these denominational churches are going to be placed in the pews right next to the Bible. And in the Quran, Jesus is neither the only begotten Son of God, nor is he the Messiah who was divinely appointed to restore the house of David. According to the Quran, he is a prophet who is appointed by Allah to prepare mankind for the coming of Muhammad. Now, Tommy, you can't even be close to Christianity and believe that, and yet they've got the pew, with the Quran in the pew right alongside the Bible, which claims one and one claims the other. Now, which one is it? The Quran mentions that Jesus was born of the Virgin Maryam, not by an immaculate conception, but rather the will of Allah, and that he performed the miracles to show the Jewish people that he was the Masa instead of Moses or Abraham. Belief in the divinity of Jesus is condemned in Islam as filth. And this is supposed to be an authoritative body teaching you how to get to heaven. No wonder we've got so much trouble in religion today and confusion.
Right. And that's why, when we get away from the Bible as our authority and we start getting into creeds and manuals and man's thoughts and what some other man said, and get away from the Bible, just look where it leads. Now we're developing a religion that does not even believe Jesus is deity, does not even believe he is the Messiah. You see, that's what happens when we get away from the Bible as our authority and start looking at things like the Quran or the Book of Mormon or the book by Mary Baker Eddy and things of that nature. We're getting away from the Bible. We're getting away from true authority. And when you do that, you're getting further and further away from what Jesus said and from what all he is and for what he's done for us. You know,
well, you know, several years ago, when President Bush was trying to propel the Islamic religion as a religion of peace, he was barking on most people's deaf ears. Most people didn't believe it, but there were some that did. Mm-hmm. And now you have denominational bodies who say they believe in Jesus Christ as the only begotten Son of God. The same one that says in John chapter 14 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. These very same individuals saying, now you're going to find salvation in Muhammad.
That's right. And not in Jesus.
Not in Jesus.
Now,
but
how in
Muhammad.
The world can a so-called Christian religion believe in Jesus and yet put it right alongside the book of the Quran,
yeah,
and think that you're going to have a coexistent,
a peaceful one, by the
yes.
way, a peaceful coexistence. There is absolutely no way. I can't imagine people getting sucked into something like this and then using the excuse, well, I've been here all my life and this is my local church. Now, by the way, if y'all want to get in on this conversation and if you want to try to defend this, go right ahead. We would love to hear your defense on this or make a comment on it. The number to call is 254-445-2473. That is 254-445-2473. What really boils my blood here is that we have these people that have all of this introduced and they have been playing church all this time. What they have now been introduced to is a different source of authority, because Muhammad is going to be over and above Jesus according to the Quran. And so you can't have it both ways, Tom. Somewhere there's got to be a definitive line of authority here, and we've got to hang on to it.
You know, and closely associated with all of this, with regard to the creeds and disciplines and manuals, and also with regard to the Pope and church in a denominational sense, with regard to authority, and there are a lot of preachers and prophets and teachers and Bible class teachers who are teaching things contrary to God's authority. And that puts a responsibility on us, doesn't it, David?
Sure.
To
sure
make sure what we're being taught is so, because when you look at the Quran alongside the Bible, how in the world can you think they can coexist? They simply cannot. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they're of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world." And yet we're living in a day when people pretty much believe anything that comes along the way. It's kind of like, you know, in the springtime, David, when you have these little birds in the nest and mama flies up there on that nest, and as soon as mama flies up, all the birds just open their mouth wide open, mm-hmm. and they swallow whatever mama drops down their throat.
Right.
Well, we have a lot of people in the pews who are just like that. They sit back there, they open their mouth, they open their minds, and they swallow whatever is espoused by the preacher. But, you know, we need to be like those Bereans in Acts 17, verse 11, don't we?
Right.
Those in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, talking about those noble Bereans, it says that they were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and they searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so.
Right.
And that's what we need to be doing.
Exactly.
Not just taking the word of man, not just taking the word of what these people are trying to put together, but does it match up to the scriptures?
Well, now, there's another passage of scripture I'd like to interject right here. And for those of you who have your Bibles there, would you please turn to 2 John verse 9, in 2 John verse 9, and Tommy, you just mentioned just a moment ago that we are to try the spirits because there are many false prophets that have gone out. And that's in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. Here in 2 John verse 9, we see something that is even more pointed than that, especially concerning another teaching, which is not the teaching of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And here it is. In verse 9, he says, "Whosoever transgresses and abides not in the doctrine of Christ, he has not God. He that abides in the doctrine of Christ, he has both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you, and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that bids him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds." Now, I'm trying to figure out, sitting right next to a Muslim, in this denominational worship service with the Quran and with the Bible there, and we're supposed to be peacefully coexisting with one another, and here I am bidding him Godspeed for his teaching on Muhammad. It says here that I would be a partaker of his evil deed, and I would be committing a sin worthy of death and lose my own salvation for it, Tommy.
That's right. And, you know, especially in light of the fact that in the Quran it teaches that belief in the deity of Jesus is nothing but filth.
Mm-hmm.
How in the world Can anybody be a partaker of that? If you do, then you're not a partaker of the doctrine of Christ, and if you do that, you're not going to go to heaven. You know, you can't put these things together. Whenever you get away from the Bible as our authority, you're just going to cause yourself all kinds of trouble eternally. You know, and people like these ones there in the Presbyterian Church there in this situation or any other denomination, when they come in bringing these ideas, they come in, well, like the Bible says, like a wolf in sheep's clothing, which reminds me of what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 15. He says, beware of false prophets. Well, that tells us right off the bat there are false prophets, and so we need to be alert to these things. And he says, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. And so there are a lot of false prophets who come here trying to be sneaky about it, trying to go around, as it were, Jack Robinson's barn, trying to deceive you into thinking something is true that is not. Well, he goes on and he says, you shall know them by their fruits. You know, we can judge. You know, a lot of times people today talk about how we're not to judge. Well, the Bible says we are to judge.
Absolutely.
You know, in John chapter 7, verse 24, we are told to judge righteous judgment. Well, what is righteous judgment? Well, Psalm 119, verse 172 says God's word is righteousness. And so we judge these situations by the word of God, which is our authority. And we can see by using God's word in a passage you mentioned a moment ago in 2 John 9 that this Chrislam hogwash is nothing but filth itself. It is contrary to God's law. And again, that's what people are using as their authority, which is not according to God's law.
It's a sad thing to see people led astray. And I don't know how many people we're talking about in these congregations here that that were mentioned with this that are involved in this Chrislam thing. I don't know how many we're talking about at all. But even one lost soul is a very, very important thing. And here we've got hundreds, maybe even thousands of souls following this this garbage that is being put out there in the name of religion, in the name of Christianity. When we look at the Bible, it is just full, chock full of warnings against these people coming in here and these pretenders of truth. As a matter of fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, the Holy Spirit, through Paul, writes the church at Corinth, warning them. He says in verse 13 of chapter 11 of the second letter that he wrote, 2 Corinthians 11:13, he says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed into the ministers of righteousness. And then he goes on to say, whose end shall be according to their works. In other words, they're all headed for hell, every single one of them, the ones that are speaking it and the ones that are following it. And that's what authority is all about. If we can establish the correct authority, then we know where salvation is.
That's right. And you know, when they're bringing in this Christianity and Islam together, they say, for the purpose, they say, of making peace. Well, I'm reminded of what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 34, where he says, think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. The idea here, he's telling us that a lot of times when we teach truth, there's going to be difficulty. He didn't come to bring peace to the whole world, because if you did that, then you're going to have what we have today, like Chrislam. He goes on in that context and says, for I come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against his mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own house. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he says, and he that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loses his life for my sake shall find it. And so there's going to be conflict. There's going to be difficulty. And when we try to bring peace in the world in conflict or in contradiction to what the Bible says, well, we don't really have peace at all, do we?
No. As a matter of fact, what the fallacy behind this whole thing is, this so-called Christian denominational body here that has welcomed Muslim into this Christian denominational body, they're doing just exactly the opposite of what they have been told to do by Christ in the first place.
Right.
Go out there and teach them how to save their souls. And instead, they're patting them on the back and rubbing them on the back of the head and say, you're going to be saved anyway.
You know, what I don't understand is here, and I know that probably all Muslims don't believe this, but it's what's taught in their Quran,
mm-hmm.
What's called the jihad.
Yeah, and that is their
it
book
is
of authority.
In, it is, yeah, and it is in their book. Now, mm-hmm. They may not believe it. They may ignore it, but it's in their book,
mm-hmm.
You know, where they have the authority, according to the Quran, to put to death anyone who is not a Muslim. Now, tell me, David, how can Christians and Muslims come together as a unified body when the jihad is taught in the Quran?
It can't be possible.
You see what happens when we start getting away from God's authority? We start bringing all these things in that just simply contradict and cannot be.
Well, there's another side to this, bringing those Muslims into this so-called Christian body of a denomination, which, by the way, is not such. When these Muslims come into this thing, the only thing that you can possibly think about that is they are the most unfaithful Muslims you ever did see in your life if they were to show up there.
That's right. So we need to realize then that all of these issues concerning creeds and preachers and popes and catechisms and what person thinks and following the crowd, that is not to be our authority in religion. What we're going to do now is to turn the table a little bit. We've been talking about what is not our authority.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's get down to the nitty-gritty. And let's talk about what is our authority. And what is our authority, David?
Well, it is the revealed Word of God. We call it the Bible. It is the inspired Word of God. There's absolutely no doubt about that. We spent 2 weeks here proving biblical proof, scientific proof, how that the Bible was indeed and still is inspired of God. That is God-breathed. It is the Word of God written down here before us. So what we have is the mind of God revealed for us. We know what God wants us to know, and it has been revealed for us. And He tells us here in this book that we are not capable of directing our own steps. Now, the reason He tells us that is because we will come up with the goofiest ideas, such as mixing Islam and Christianity together and trying to make people believe that that thing will float. And so He tells us right off, we can't know what's good for us. We are created by God. We proved that just a couple of weeks ago, too. Wouldn't it be obvious to everyone that the Creator of the world and the Creator of the human being would know what is best for the human that He did create in His own image?
You know, man at times seems to be dumb enough to try to commingle boiling water in an ice cube.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what you got when you're putting Christianity and Islam together.
Sure it is.
And so the Bible is our authority. It is to be our guide in all things that we do. Now, we're getting up close to a break here. But when we get on the other side of the break, we're going to answer a question that was raised last week about homosexuality. And we're going to talk about it right here because the Bible is our authority.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible is our authority with regard to our religious practices, how we worship, how we become Christians, and also on moral issues. And so when we talk about the Bible and its authority, it's going to address things like homosexuality. And so on the other side of the break, we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about this question that this concerned person called in about concerning homosexuality and Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 13.
Someday when my last line is written.
Perhaps you've been on a path or road that leads to nowhere. Maybe you have been down that path, and perhaps you feel like you're on that path right now. But you don't have to be. We need to be walking on the old paths and the narrow way of Christ so as not to end up in a knothole of destruction, the path that leads to nowhere. Friends, make the level path of thy feet, and let thy ways be established, Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 26. walk in the ways of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice. And a highway shall be there, and a way, it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for the redeemed, the wayfaring men. Yea, fools shall not err therein. I'm David Harris from the Hillcrest Church of Christ, and I invite you to worship with us every Sunday morning. Bible classes beginning at 9:30, worship services at 10:30, and midweek Bible classes at 7 p.m. Please make plans to attend and worship with us.
Amazing grace.
They thought the Titanic was unsinkable. They thought the double bottom 16 watertight compartments could withstand anything. They thought the ship could float even with some water in its bulkheads. They thought the 3 million rivets holding the steel plates together was indestructible. They thought even after the ship had struck an iceberg that there was no cause for alarm. Everything would be all right. They thought all was fine. And some continued dancing, enjoying the music and partying. They thought, but they were wrong. We must make our eternal destiny sure. Surely we should not accept the advice or counsel of man, but rather only heed the word of God. Jesus stated that only those who do the will of the Father shall inherit the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. The Park Heights Church of Christ would like to welcome you to come and worship with us. We have Bible studies for all ages each Sunday at 9:30 a.m. and our worship time begins each Sunday at 10:25 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also have Bible studies for all ages each Wednesday at 7 p.m. And the Park Heights Church of Christ, we stand in the old paths and we speak the truth in love.
Welcome back to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. I'm David Harris and here with Tom Moore tonight. And we are discussing and concerning the topic of authority. What is it and where is it? If we can figure out where it is, then we can know what it is. And we've spent a considerable amount of time talking about where authority isn't and what it isn't. It has nothing to do with our conscience, although our conscience will help us and point us to it. It has the authority cannot be found in our dreams and visions. The authority that we have for what we do can't be in our parents solely, and yet we still must obey our parents. But now, in a religious sense, we cannot look to our parents for our religious authority, nor can we look to a majority opinion, nor can we look to the church as a denominational body for any of this. Now, what we're going to do now is we're going to go right to the heart of the issue and show you where the authority truly is. Now, the telephone number to call, this is a call-in talk show. The number to call is 254-445-2473. That's 254-445-2473. You can email us at keqx@rocketmail.com. Or if you have somebody that you would like to listen to the program that is out of the listening range, you can get on the internet at harrisandmoore.org. Just follow the instructions there. It'll put you right on the air with us and give us a call. We would love to hear your calls. Now we have gotten to the point where we know where the authority is. We know that man cannot direct his own steps. Man can't come up with his own ideas. And the Bible is going to be the authority here. Jeremiah chapter 10 verse 23 says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walks to direct his steps. Now, if we would just keep that in mind, then we wouldn't have any problem with this Chrislam, or we wouldn't have any problem with these denominational bodies that reach out there and go for some of these ludicrous ways and thinkings as to where salvation and where religion really is. Now, Tom mentioned just a moment ago that we had last week, we had a caller called in a couple of times. And she didn't want to come on the air, but she wanted to give us her question, and we did not answer that question to her satisfaction. Now, concerning authority, which is what we've been talking about, concerning authority, she wanted to know where the homosexual agenda stands concerning the authority in the Bible.
Right, and you know, when you As we begin thinking about this, Solomon said in Proverbs 14, verse 12, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." And so we realize right there, when we come into any kind of issue, whether it be homosexuality or whether it be our worship or our salvation or anything concerning this life, it's not man's way that should direct our paths in this regard, but it has to be God's way. The question was concerning Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 13. Now let's begin by reading that. And remember, our phone number to call in is at 254-445-2473, or you can email us at kqx@rocketmail.com. We're looking at Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 13. It says, "If a man lie with mankind, as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination, they shall surely be put to death, their blood shall be upon them." Now let's begin by looking at that passage and noticing the phrase, "If a man lie with mankind, as he lieth with a woman." Well, that means, David, that if a man is going to have a sexual relationship with another man like he will with a woman, that's what they're talking about here. It's a sexual relationship. He says that is an abomination. And so much an abomination was that to God. Now, he didn't care what everybody else thought. He didn't care what everybody else was doing. God says it is an abomination for a man to lie with another man like he would lie with a woman. And he says in Old Testament times, that was such an abomination that they were to be put to death. Now, in the New Testament, there is also a passage that talks about this very issue in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. In verse 9, it says of 1 Corinthians 6, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" So he's going to tell us here about the unrighteous, how they are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. And then he gives us some information as to who these unrighteous ones are. He says, "Be not deceived." You know, don't be fooled by the world, by the majority. He says, "Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate," the King James says. The New King James translates that as homosexuals, or abusers of themselves with mankind. The New King James translates that as sodomites. He says these people, adulterers, fornicators, homosexuals, shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
Salvation is not there.
That's right. And you can't get any clearer than that. That's God's authority. Again, let me remind you, Solomon said, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death."
Well, the Bible is extremely clear. He didn't tolerate it in the Old Testament. That's what the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah was all about, was that kind of lifestyle. He reiterates it in Leviticus as part of the law of Moses. It is brought forward. The law has changed, but the principle of righteousness has remained the same. And here in the New Testament, in at least five places, it tells us in condemnation about the act of homosexuality, men with men and women with women. And so we can't get around that. I know this caller said that she had many friends that were homosexual, and she was concerned about what is the authoritative word on this from God. Well, we know what the authoritative word is from God. It is just what we got through reading there, and there is more even with that. But there is one more passage of Scripture here I want to read in amongst all of this with this denominationalism and the thoughts that are provoking people to be politically correct about this homosexuality. Now, friends, if we keep our mouth shut about the lifestyle, then we are condoning it, and we can't do that. And Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Now, friends, that iniquity is laid upon Christ. Now, we have a caller on the line. Caller, if you'll give us your name and please state your comment or your question, and we'll try to give you a biblical answer.
This is Jim.
Hello, Jim.
Hi. Been listening to you for the last several weeks and haven't called in. I'm a pretty simple-minded guy. You know, I just kind of break things down to their simplest level so I can understand them. But, you know, these folks who believe in evolution and those who say homosexuals go to heaven just like everybody else, practicing homosexuals, fornicate, those that are named there in 2 Corinthians 6, you know, they just will not accept the authority of God Almighty. If they accept it and they're living a certain way or believing certain things, they're going to have to change. They do not want to do that, so they will not accept the authority. I mean, to me, that's just, like I say, I'm a pretty simple-minded guy. But if you believe the inspired word of God and you're not living what that inspired word says, then you have to make some changes. And some folks just, they just don't want to do that.
Well, I've got a question for you.
Okay.
If a person says that they honestly believe the Word of God, that it is inspired and it is authoritative, and yet they do not live it, do they really believe it?
Well, I believe some of it, and some of it they don't. It's probably what they would say,
mm-hmm.
You know.
Well,
you know, the Old Testament's probably got some myths in it and legends, whatever, you know. And whatever my pastor tells me is what I'm going to go with.
You know, there are a lot of
denominations who won't accept. Again, the authority.
That's right. You know, there's a lot of people who do claim to believe in the authority of the Bible, but again, like you said, Jim, they're not going to accept it. You know, they'll accept things as long as it goes how they like it, but, you know, that kind of starts getting into bringing yourself in as
mm-hmm.
the authority, because I can believe this as long as I like it. I don't like this passage so much, so I'm not going to believe that, and so we get our opinions and our thinking involved as our authority.
Oh, yeah, we become delusional.
That's right.
Anyway, hey, I enjoyed the program. Keep it up. Good work.
Well, thank you for calling, Jim. There,
you bet.
One more thing I'd like to add to what Jim was saying there just a moment ago. In Hebrews chapter 5, the authoritative word tells us in verses 8 and 9. It says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience through the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. And there's the key, Tom. If we believe it, we must obey it.
That's right.
Or if we don't believe it, we're not going to obey it. Did we actually believe what we were doing when we were baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins? We better have. We were obedient to God's revealed will. He is the author of eternal salvation. Now, there is our authority, but it's unto all them that obey him. And that is what the scriptures have to say. And so this belief and this faith that people keep pounding on their heart about, it's got to have obedience with it, or it's not any kind of faith at all.
That's right. You know, a person, again, can say all day long, I believe in the authority of the Bible. But if they don't practice and abide by God's authority, they don't really believe it. It's kind of like Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verse 46, why call you me, Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say unto you?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you say you believe in Jesus. He says, well, show me by doing what I say. You know, so it's important for us to accept his authority, but we only truly accept the authority when we abide by the authority that's found in the Word of God.
And that will call for belief on the part of every good and honest heart. You know, in that seed and the sower, in that parable that he gives us there in Luke chapter 8, such a beautiful illustration, word picture, if you will, of what belief is really all about. And he compares the soils of the ground to the hearts of mankind. And he talks about good soil and bad soil. And when he gets to the good soil in verse 15, he says, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and a good heart, having heard the word, they keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. And so that keeping of the word, that is the obedient part that we've got to have. It's good to say that we believe in the authority of the Bible, but it does no good. Those are just mere words unless we put those words into action.
That's right. Now, we've established the fact that the Scriptures claim to be the final authority in religion.
Mm-hmm.
But before we establish this even further, let's lay a little bit of foundational elements in regard to authority. And before we do that, let me remind you that this is a live call-in talk show. And so call us at 254-445-2473. Write this number down. Put it in the visor of your car. Put it in your wallet. Stick it in your pocket. Put it there by your telephone, by your radio, and always have it handy so you can call us with any question or comment that you might have. But as we think about authority, we need to realize that ultimate authority resides in God.
Mm-hmm.
And since God is creator, authority inherently, that is, existing in no one else, it's always permanent, it inherently resides in Him. As a matter of fact, the very first verse of the Bible, Genesis 1, verse 1, talks about how that God has all authority because it refutes atheism, it refutes materialism, it abolishes pantheism. God declares once and for all His authority. He says, God, He said, I am the Creator. I created all things. Now, there's an interesting passage in Jeremiah. Are you turning over there?
No, I'm not, but I will.
All right. Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1 through 6, talking about how that God is the potter and we are the clay, establishing what authority is all about.
Okay, let me read that with you. That will be in Jeremiah chapter 18 and verse 1. It says, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I do with you as this potter? And saith the Lord, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel.
You know, David, that tells us exactly the way God thinks about us.
Mm-hmm.
We are the clay. He is a potter. And as the potter, he can form the clay as he wishes. He has given us his directions. He has given us what he wants us to be. And it's up to us as clay to mold ourselves to the wishes of the potter, who is God. And so that's a good Old Testament passage establishing the fact that God is our authority.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting that we're now pointing to the authority residing in God. It is interesting on that Mount of Transfiguration that is recorded in Matthew chapter 17, when the apostles went up on that mount with him, there were transfigured before them, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Jesus himself, in verse 2, we're told, was transfigured before them. His face did shine as the sun. His raiment was white as the light. Then Peter said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you will, let us make here three tabernacles, one for Moses, one for Elijah. And he said, behold, a bright cloud. And while he spoke, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And so Jesus, the Son of God, as the Son of God sees here, we see the authority residing in God, saying that you are going to hear my Son Jesus. He is the one that I'm giving the authority to, and that authority is given to him by God himself.
That's right. I believe we have a telephone call. If you give us your name and your question or comment, we'd appreciate it.
This is Barry. We're talking about the authority of God, and the passage you just read about being the us being the clay and God being the potter. And we've really, I think, the world has turned that around and made God what he's not. Mm-hmm. God is a loving God. But every time that you discuss this, many times they go over to where Jesus, when they brought the woman in adultery to Jesus, mm-hmm. and Jesus said, "I don't, you know, where's your accusers? I don't condemn you." And they stop there. They forget that he said, "Now you go and you don't do this anymore." And we have a lot of people that say, "Well, see, there, Jesus just forgave that, overlooked it; it didn't matter." They forget the second part of that. And so many people, when they talk about the authority, they don't realize that when God is the one that makes the rules, and we have to change our lives to meet those rules. And many times they say, well, they go back to that and say, well, see, God's going to forgive us anyway, which is a false doctrine. I would like to hear y'all comment on that, please.
You know, it kind of reminds me a little bit of what Paul said in Romans chapter 9, in verse 20 and 21. It says, "Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God?
Mm-hmm.
Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, Why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make some vessels unto honor, some other to dishonor?" This is like Barry was saying, some people are trying to make God the clay, and they're trying to form God into what they want him to be, instead of what he really is. And when we do that, David, we're not really expecting, well, we're not any really to it, we're just not respecting the authority of God. He is the potter, we are the clay, we conform ourselves to his will alone.
Well, I do believe, based upon all of the incorrect information out there about religion, and we stand by this motto and just keep mentioning it over and over and over again. You've heard what men have had to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say. We do that for a reason. It is because there is where all the authority is. The authority resides in God. God gives it to Jesus. But now, in John chapter 5 and verse number 30, Jesus tells us something here that shows us that obedience is absolutely essential, not only for us, but even for Jesus, to whom God gives the authority. In verse 30, he says, "I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me." Now, Jesus is not trying to mold God into being what he wants him to be. Neither should we. And what we have here is we have a society of so-called religious people who look at God as if he's made out of Play-Doh. Mm-hmm. I'll make him anything I need him to be. And whatever I want him to be, that's what he's going to be. What I believe him to be, that's good enough for me. And what I feel in my heart, you can't take that away from me. And we've got to have a better source of authority than that, Tommy.
You know, not only that, people also not only try to make God the clay, but they also try to make his blood-bought church clay,
mm-hmm.
where they can form it into anything they want. Like we've read recently about the bar church, where
right.
they're having church in the bar where they're drinking, and they think that Jesus would feel more at home in a bar than he would in the church, and all kinds of ridiculous things like that. What we're doing there, what these people are doing is making the church the clay, making God the clay, and we form it as we want. Well, God made us, and as a result of that, he has authority over man. God formed man for himself. As a matter of fact, in Isaiah 43, verse 21, it says, "This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise." And so we need to realize who is in authority. It is God and not man.
Well, you know, a parallel passage to that Old Testament passage you just read there is found in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. And there we are told by the Holy Spirit who we are and what our purpose is here on this earth. In verse 9, he says, "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people." That is, a people for God's own possession. "And here is our purpose, that you should show forth the praises of him that has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light." He goes on to say, "Which in times past were not a people, but now are a people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." And so salvation is in God through the church. We are called out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are called there for a purpose, to show forth the praises of him that has called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. And we get this all backwards. We somehow think that we're put here on this earth to make the most money that we can, to lavish ourselves with the most pleasure and the most things that we can possibly get our hands on. And that is not it. We are here for a purpose, to praise the God, the one with all authority that put us here.
That's right. And God has, we've already established, all authority. And he has authority because he is a creator. He created man. He has the right to have authority over us. We also see his authority because he has given us commands, both positive and negative commands, and he has imposed penalties on us if we disobey. And from the very beginning of time, he did this. For example, in Genesis chapter 2, mm-hmm. verses 16 and 17, God told them that of every tree of the garden you could freely eat, but there was one tree in the midst of the garden, David, they were not to eat of. In the day that they ate of it, they were going to surely die. When man transgresses God's law, God imposes punishment. That shows God has authority.
Right. And the authority, by the way, it's not to make our life miserable. It's to make our life better.
That's right.
Jesus Christ came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly, John chapter 10. Oh, this is a smoky place today.
But you know, also, you know, talking about this authority that he has here regarding him creating us and giving us commands, we see his authority also because he's going to judge us. He is the judge. Romans 14, verse 12 says, "So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God." You know, David, I'm not going to give myself an account unto you or you to me in the day of judgment. It's going to be unto God, because God is the one that has authority. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 14, "For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." God has all authority because he is our judge. He is the creator. He gives us commands. He gives us authority. God has the authority.
Now, when we can get authority pinpointed, and that's what we're doing today, that's where we're going to find salvation. It's a wonderful thing to understand that God has put authority here. He has put salvation in his authority. And if we will find that authority and we will abide in that authority, we will obey that authority, then everyone is going to be judged the same way. We're all going to be judged the very same way. Jesus said in John chapter 12 and verse 48, "He that rejects me and receives not my word has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." It is the word of Christ. It is the written word of God. Jesus Christ being deity, the second person of the Godhead, God being the Father, the first person of the Godhead, the revealed word of God is going to judge each and every one of us. And God is no respecter of persons. Just because I came, just because I was born into a Muslim family, is not going to make me any different than a person that was born in a Christian family or a person that was born in no religious contact at all. We're all going to be judged by the same word, and it will be the authoritative, God-given, inspired word of God.
That's exactly right, David. Now, we've been establishing the idea of authority. We began by looking at the last two Mondays about what authority is not. And we're now showing that the Bible is our authority. And in this regard, God is the ultimate authority because he gave us the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be showing next Monday how that God has given Jesus this authority. And we're going to show this a line of authority, how that God has all authority. He has given it to Jesus. Jesus has delegated it to the apostles and Bible writers and has given us this very word of God that is now our authority. And so we're going to talk about this delegated authority that ultimately resides in God. But as we draw to a conclusion today, I want to remind you of a passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in verse 10 that says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according that he has done, whether it be good or bad. Jesus is going to be standing on that judgment scene day, and we're going to, all of us, David, every single person that has ever lived on the face of the earth is going to have to give an account of what he's done,
mm-hmm.
whether it be good or whether it be bad. Now, if we don't understand what our true authority is today, I do not want to be that person in the day of judgment.
True. Very true.
And so today, think about authority. Think about God's words authority, and remember that we must not only believe in his authority, but submit to his authority if we're going to be pleasing in his sight.
We want to thank everyone for your calls. We want to thank for all of you, all of the listening audience out there. And without you, this couldn't be done. And we thank you, and we want to see you again and hear you again next Monday night. And I want to sign off by saying, God, please bless America.